Hello and welcome to LDS Women's Book Review Podcast number 34.
34.
I'm Shanda.
I'm Sheila.
And we have a special guest today with us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you for having me. This is Tristy Pinkston.
Why don't you tell us your most recent novel?
My new novel, which just barely came out, is called Agent in Old Lace.
It has a fantastic cover.
I really liked my cover. They did an awesome job with that.
I also love the font. It's wonderful. I mean, it's mm-hmm. lacy.
It's kind of lacy. And then, did you notice up in the courtroom picture, there's a lace motif on the walls of the courtroom too.
You are right.
Clever cover designers. Mm-hmm.
They did a really, really good job with that.
Now, is this your first Cedar Fort book?
It is. I just signed with them. Yeah, my first two books came out with Granite, and then I self-published the third one, and then this fourth release is my first book with Cedar Fort.
That is awesome. Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
Well, seriously. You know, we all have a path that we get on, and sometimes it takes little twists and turns, and
it's awesome.
As long as you end up where you're trying to go.
And you're there. Yeah. And it's at one spot right now. Huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting how everything works out, isn't it?
It really does. And I do believe that, you know, we're put on the path that we're supposed to be on for a reason.
Well, I'm excited to get to read Agent in Old Lace. I haven't been able to get to it yet. Still waiting for my copy from Cedar Fort.
And I'm still waiting for my copy also.
So in the next podcast, we will, and it'll be in our recent read section, and we'll talk all about it.
Okay.
But we still want to hear from you about it. But first, before we get into that.
Yes. We'll talk about that.
I don't think we have any personal news going on right now.
No, not really. We still have 6 more weeks of school for me since teaching year-round. And Hillary's off in study land. Yep. She has her exams for her school. Finishing up with massage.
For graduation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's signed out for me. She's like, I'm not available. So
be thinking of her.
Think happy graduation thoughts.
Yes.
And on to book news, there's several things here that I wanted to talk about. Okay. On episode 31, I talked about LDSBookCorner.com. I think it's Jeff's sister-in-law or sister.
Oh, that's who Jeff's sister is.
Yeah, his sister, LDSBookCorner.com. Yes. That is, I'm still getting emails from them.
Really?
What a fun idea. I kind of wish I'd thought of it, but anyway.
Oh.
So if you haven't checked that website out and signed up for the emails, to get first chapters of books, to find out if they're something you'd like to read. It's I mean, nobody stands and reads the first chapter in a bookstore.
Oh, I do sometimes.
Well, it depends.
Most normal people that aren't addicted to books don't stand and read them.
They scan, you know, and so it's nice to be able, in the comfort of your own home.
I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
In the comfort of your own home, to be able to read the first chapter or two or three or however many the author agrees to, I guess, and then and give you a taste of the book. So that's kind of fun. I know from an author's point of view, is that something that interests authors?
Oh, it's great. And I have been meaning to send her over my first chapters, and I just haven't. I've just been so busy, but I think it's a great idea because when you read the first chapter, you want to keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I just picked up Agent in Old Lace and I read the first page and I want to keep reading.
Well, there you go.
So that is just an amazing thing, Tristy. I mean, right
off the
bat.
Oh, way to hook him.
I just want to sit here and you could let you two talk and I'll read her book.
Well, I don't think so.
Come on.
You're not going to make me do all the work. Not that it's hard work. I mean, talking to Tristy is a lot.
Oh, it's so hard to talk to Tristy.
You just know a little bit more about Tristy than I do. I'm still getting to know her.
Well, she's awesome. She can do anything, and she has a big job coming up this next year that we're also going to let her talk to us about, having to do with the LDS Storymakers Conference.
Yeah, we're excited to hear what she has to say about that. Since it is almost June, my daughter's brought home, I don't know if your state or city does this, but in Salt Lake, the governor... Governor Huntsman and his wife have a read with a child.
Former Governor
Huntsman. You know what?
He's
whatever.
Not former yet, but as of last night. You didn't hear?
No.
Obama has given him a new job.
Oh, really?
Our President Obama. You guys didn't hear about
this? Tell us.
He is going to be the ambassador to China.
Oh, well,
seriously.
Okay.
Yes.
Then Governor Huntsman and his wife Mary Kay Huntsman. They have started this Read with a Child program, and they send out these calendars each year that are summer reading challenges. they have each day is some, you can do something.
Isn't that awesome?
Like the first of June, it says to participate in your library's summer reading program. The second day is choose a favorite book to read aloud as a family and read a chapter a day. There's things that go outside and blow bubbles. You know, I mean, there's just little things you can do that each day.
It was a statewide thing. I handed mine out in my class, even though we're in the same school district, but I did hand in mine.
I just don't know if it's other states besides Utah that have programs like this, but if you don't,
we do.
The libraries around you usually do. So at least go and sign your kids up for the summer reading program, since that's coming up really soon.
My children and I do it every year. And I always sign up for the adult one, since I'm reading anyhow. I might as well get the free goodies that they
get. Yeah, there you go.
I'm reading anyhow, but I enjoy that, and you get free book.
Hey, you know, free books, a free book, and we all know how much we like free books.
Yes, right? We do.
Oh, way.
Also, I got the Deseret book catalog in the mail the other day, I love it when it gets to be this time of year, because they do their Lagoon discount coupons when you buy their books, and I have some books I need to buy, and I have gift certificates I need to use, so I can go and buy the books that I've been wanting to buy.
Hourglass door. I'm sorry. She was just flipping through the Deseret book flyer, and I saw the Hourglass door.
She went into holy cow.
I haven't read it yet.
Holy cow. It is so good.
Oh, I'm excited to read it.
Well, Lisa Mangum's been an editor for a really long time, right?
She has. She has worked for Deseret Book, and she, oh my goodness, this book, I can't even tell you. It is unreal.
I'm just really freaking out right now, because I came home from the Story Makers with this huge bag of books that I'd bought, and that people had given me books, and I'm going,
people gave you books?
I had like 3 or 4 people just give me books.
I need to go to Storymakers.
Well, once they found out I was part of LDS Women's Book Review, and that I was a blogger, and they just, here, will you blog about my book? Sure, I'd love to.
Well, as soon as you get the chance, you need to sit down at the Hourglass store. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. It was just I saw that go flipping by, and I'm all, because it was so awesome.
That's what we love. That's great, because that's how we know what books we want.
I have a copy. They gave away 100. Was it 100 free copies?
It was 100 free copies.
Yes. And you got one of the Hourglass
store? I have it. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, since you're already going to be reading other things, can I read it?
Sure.
First?
Sure.
Okay.
No, I'm
looking
a huge
for my next
list.
Book. So.
No, you can buy it.
Okay. What I was going to say about this Deseret book thing is, Lagoon is in Salt Lake. It's about 45 minutes away from us. It's an amusement park.
Yeah, there's no
up north traffic. In Farmington, and so if you live in Utah and you want to take your kids to an amusement park that's closer than Disneyland, and you want the cheapest way to do it, is these are the biggest discount tickets, I think.
Are they really? So through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I did this last year, actually.
Really?
No. Year before last?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was last year, because I was pregnant.
Well, tell me about that. Probably didn't do it last year. Well, tell me about
I went. I actually went to the booksellers. It's not open anymore. But the discount one. But I bought a couple books I've been wanting, and they said, do you want, you qualify for this many
right.
discount Lagoon passes. Do you want them?
Just
I'm like, yeah,
one
sure.
single purchase then.
Because on here, it'll tell you, this one, every book qualifies for a certain number. So for example, Lemon Tart from Josie Kilpack. If you purchase that, you can get 3 discount coupons.
Oh.
And it saves you $14 getting into the park per person. I just thought, if you live in Utah and you want to take advantage of it, this goes until The offer is valid June 8th through September 7th, but I don't know how long they're doing the discount coupons.
So get to it right away, in other words.
Yeah, it says regular admission is $41.95. And
how
so $41.95 is regular admission. So this is $28 a person plus tax, so a saving of $13.95. So it saves you $14 getting in. And it's not like it's as good as Disneyland, even though, because, I mean, for $41, you can almost get into Disneyland, but that's, you have to get there first.
You have to get there. You have to pay for the hotel, the food,
and then stand in line forever and ever and ever.
You don't really have to do as much when you go to Lagoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, and it's, closer by. So anyway, for those of you who haven't been to Deseret Book, I have a list of books to buy at Deseret Book. Now may be the time to do it. And I don't know if it still works online. I didn't read, but
you'll have to check out their website to see.
There it is. There's that. That's what you were going into Fitzover.
Yeah, she is such an interesting
the cover is awesome. The Last Waltz was also awesome. Can I just say?
Did you blog about that?
Gigi's? I did.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Gigi Vandegrift's new book, The Last Waltz.
I want to read that one, too.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Do we have any other book news? Because if not, we'll go right into recent reads.
You know, the only thing I was going to talk about.
Because since we, you know, that was my book news, is just, you know, sign up for your library's program.
I think that's great.
Check out ldsbookcorner.com and then the discount tickets through Deseret Book.
Yeah, don't let your kids just sit and play games like on the computer or play the Wii or make sure your kids are reading. This is from a teacher's little lecture here. Yeah, whether they're in year-round school, homeschool, traditional school, please make sure your kids are still reading. You know, this is such a vital part of your whole education. If they don't know how to read, they don't know how to do anything else.
So they can learn how to do anything from a book.
Exactly.
Almost.
And once they learn how to read, so make that time to read together as a family. I mean, my kids and I love to do that. We love to pick a book that I can read aloud to them. And I've told you in previous podcasts, this year with us traveling back and forth to my new school, and they are coming to my new school with me, we've been getting the Harry Potter CDs, and so we just listen to those back and forth and back and forth, and we're on book number 5 now.
Wow. And you've said it a couple times, just when what you've been saying without even realizing you've been saying it, is the best way to get your child to read is to see you reading and to get involved with reading with them.
Right. And I did a blog about that recently.
Well, and speaking of, I promised my oldest daughter, Tana, that she could come and give her quick little review of the first Fablehaven book. I read the first one a while back, you know, a few months ago.
Right.
Or so, and then she got into Fablehaven and was going through it so quick that I thought, uh-oh, I better read book 2 before she gets to it, because I kind of want to...
Right.
Well, you know, there was some scary stuff in the first one. And she's almost 12, so...
And the third.
And there's there's a few things that, you know, I can see why like middle reader boys would really be interested in this, because, I mean, bones breaking and, you know, stuff like that. Have you read the Fablehaven series?
I haven't yet. They're definitely on my to-read list.
Yeah, the first one didn't strike me as well. I mean, I gave it a 3 on my Goodreads, which is, you know, I liked it, but there were a few things I was kind of like, well, I don't know how I felt about it, especially looking at it from a parent's point of view. Mm-hmm. But then I read the second one so that I could read it before my daughter, and... just to kind of preview it and see if I felt like she was ready to handle it. And I was like turning pages.
I told you.
It started to pick up for sure by the second one. So now I'm actually excited to read the third one.
The third one I went through even faster.
Well, Midsummer's Night on that first one, it was terrifying. I was like, but then I look at my 8-year-old who's over there reading Goosebumps.
I know, I saw that.
And I'm like, okay, if she can read Goosebumps, my 11-year-old can handle Fablehaven. So,
well, let's hear from your daughter.
Okay, here, I'm going to turn the mic over to her for a second.
I'm Tana.
And I'm her proud former preschool teacher. So,
so did you like Fablehaven?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part? But don't give any secrets.
I liked when they saw the fairies.
When they saw the fairies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was nice. Was it kind of scary?
The scariest part was Midsummer Eve, but it was okay.
It wasn't too bad?
No.
Did it give you nightmares or anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so how long do you think it took you to read that book?
2 weeks, maybe more. But
that's not bad, but considering she's doing homework,
she's
too.
And school and
exactly.
Housework and homework.
Exactly.
That was doing your 20-minute reading.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for her. Who's your favorite character in Fablehaven so far?
Probably Kendra.
Yeah. Yeah, like Kendra. Do you like Seth at all at this point?
He's okay. He's naughty, but...
Yeah. You start liking Seth a little bit more in the books that are to come, but I thought you probably would like Kendra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Kendra, too, especially more in the second book.
Yeah, me too.
And are you excited to read the second book?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy mommy finally let you talk on the podcast?
Yeah.
Even though you're only using one syllable words?
Yeah.
Do you even know what one syllable words are?
Yeah.
Of course she does. She's almost done with 5th grade. She knows
I'm
what that
teasing
is.
Her. I'm joking because I can. I'm her mom.
That's right.
Hey, are you ready to be done?
Yeah.
Tana is actually very, very smart and very intelligent. She's a really smart little girl.
A very good reader, too.
Yes.
Okay, say bye.
Bye.
Okay, now you can come upstairs. That was fun. She was so excited. She finished Fablehaven this morning. so that she could come and talk and say and be done with it so she could talk on the podcast. She was very anxious to do that, so I wanted to give her her couple minutes of fame.
Super.
And okay, so that was what she's been reading recently, and I told you about the second one that I've been reading recently. I really, The Revenant, oh my goodness gracious. I don't know if he's making this stuff up, or is he looking at folklore, or
Brandon Moe's mind. And sometimes some of these authors' minds can be a scary place, like Sanderson. Well, I don't know what's going through his mind, but it can be a scary place sometimes.
Well, I was, I don't know how, I mean, I don't think I would want to dwell on things long enough to come up with some of the scary stuff that he's come up with, but that Cat with the Nine Lives, that was
pretty
cool.
There's a lot of cool stuff, so you guys both
I'm not giving too much away. You'll know
okay.
When you get there.
Who do we want to go first with our recent reads?
You know what? Let's talk to Tristy, because she's apparently read a lot of books, and she's kind of talked a little bit about some of the ones she's read recently.
The thing that amazes me about Tristy, and this is what, if you don't know a lot about her, I just have to say, she has how many different blogs? Three?
It used to be a lot more. I've pared it down. I do have three right now.
Okay, that's what I thought. She posts on three different blogs. She blogs, she reads all these books, she writes books. She's going to announce to us what her big job is for this next year for Storymakers Conference. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm amazed by how much you read, but go ahead and tell us what your recent read.
Right now I'm reading Recovering Charles by Jason Wright.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That was a book that was given to us for free by Deseret Book at the Storymakers Conference. They sponsored.
Wow. So I'll bring back the copy that was given to us, cause I have a hardback of
it. Yeah. So that's been really enjoyable. I'm only a little bit into that, but I'm also reading James Dashner's sequel, his
Hunt for Dark Infinity. That's one of the ones I'm going to buy to get my discount.
Yeah, I started that, and I'm in the middle actually of several, but I did just finish Bone Warriors by Bron Bauman.
Excellent.
Very impressed by that book. And the thing that struck me the most about it is it's not just a good book having been written by a 15-year-old.
Right, right.
It's a good book.
Just
regardless. You know, you can pick it up and it will hold its own next to these other authors who've been writing for years. And so I was very impressed and want to give him a shout out.
No, I remember asking him if he read a lot.
What did he say?
And, you know, I don't think he didn't answer as if he'd read a ton. He read some kinds of books, but mainly I think he did a lot of, I think he said something that was doing stuff with his friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, his use of language is very, very polished. And so I think he must do maybe a little bit more reading than he's letting on.
Yeah, because
I was expecting him to say that he read maybe Aragon and different things like that. Right. And different, you know, like sci-fi fantasy was his genre of choice. But he didn't really go into a lot of detail when we asked him about that. But I could see him reading those kinds of books. Hey, but he didn't, you know.
So this could be a book that could be nominated for Whitney Award.
It could.
Regardless of age.
It could.
You can nominate
any. They don't
have
to be 18.
The
only requirement for being nominated for a Whitney is that you are LDS.
Cool.
The book does not have to have LDS themes in it. It does not have to be published by an LDS publisher. Just as long as the author is a member of the church.
I love it.
And it doesn't matter that if it's Vanity Press? Or does
it need to encourage people not to go there? But
I was just curious.
It can be self-published. It can be, from any source as long as the author is LDS.
Okay,
but it does go through a judging panel.
Right,
we and were part of that process. This
has wasn't that it was fun a lot to fun. Get to do that.
I would love it. Wasn't it hard
though? Some of those categories, it was really hard to
pick. What category?
I wouldn't have wanted
it
to be mystery suspense, but
yeah, I'm just on the Academy, and so I read in each of the
categories.
And it was really hard in some of those categories because
mystery suspense, especially, that was the tough one for me this year.
It was really tough.
It was hard. I loved my category, of course, because I did the youth fiction. Uh-huh. I'd already read most of them. You know, it was just like, I'm in heaven with the youth fiction. But
romance was an interesting one for me. There was such a wide variety of the romance.
Mm-hmm.
It went from Regency to chick lit type of romance.
Very
true. And it was a wide variety of offerings.
Yes.
Well, also Royal Target by Tracy Hunter Abramson should have been
It was kind of, I could see how it could be mystery suspense, but I really liked the romance.
I did too.
In that book. But I can see why they put it in the category they did, but it would have been, then it still wouldn't have made my choice in romance any easier to make because
very true.
I personally enjoy romance a lot. But there were two authors that really knocked my socks off, and one of them was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked Shannon Guymon taking chances. Yes. That one personally was my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way it spoke to me,
mm-hmm.
Personally, some of the issues there.
Mm-hmm.
And Aubrey Mace did a really great job with Spare Change. I think the theme of the book, and, you know, it was very mm-hmm. nice, and it was touching. You could feel the concern for the patients, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I teared up a couple of times.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
Not
that
such
one
a big fan too. Of the hero. He was kind of a jerk at times, but that's just reality there.
I thought it was very good that way. She was pretty realistic.
You know, but, I thought they all did a really good job. So it was difficult trying to do the voting. There was, you know, when we were doing our narrowing down as panelists on the judging panels, there were, my husband was sitting there watching me as I'm like, oh, I don't know which one to choose. You know, like that when they had to compare. And I seriously was having like little stress moments.
It was hard for me also mm-hmm. in my category. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have wanted to be, I mean, Michelle judged too, and they were, you know, the romance and the historical, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't have wanted to do the historical either because there were so many good books mm-hmm. in the historical. How do you choose?
You know what? There was just a great mm-hmm. crop of books, and I think this next year is going to be mm-hmm. the same.
I think the competition is going to get tougher.
It will.
Every year. Yes, we've been given a bar to shoot for.
Well, it already has. You're going to have a just book. From last year to this year.
I really hope I will.
You will. Yes. You will.
Maybe there's a little hint there. If anybody wants to nominate Agent and Old Lace for a Whitney, by all means, my feelings would not be hurt.
Please do so.
Okay, so if that happens, then you can't be on
I can be in the Academy, but I would not be able to cast my vote in the category that Agent and Old Lace fell in.
Just the one category. Okay.
Yeah, I could still vote in the youth, or I could vote in the other category.
You just can't vote in for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when Josie was trying to explain all that to us, I just couldn't remember it all.
Josie's going to have a couple probably, too. So
she probably is. I would be really, really surprised if Lemon Tart did not.
Well, I'm going to go on some serious. I'm going to have to go on a personal mission to introduce people to this book and say, go vote here at this place.
Trifle also, isn't it coming out?
Yeah,
in
that's
fall?
What I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Show too.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the recent reads.
Yeah,
you were saying you read Bone Warriors,
really,
and we got
up
on a total tangent.
I distract all the time. I was going right with you.
You fit in perfect. As we try to bring it back around, was there anything in addition to Bone Warriors and the ones that you mentioned earlier?
I've been doing a lot of reading of different editing books and things like that. So kind of going off on a nonfiction tangent, just trying to sharpen my skills.
No, there was one that there was one that you and Sheila were mentioning that you can toss in here since you're talking about editing and different. Annette Lyons.
Oh, I cannot wait for this new book.
I'm excited too.
Annette Lyons just published a book called There, There, There. Each of the wording
different
spelled
theirs.
A little bit differently. And she is so amazing with grammar. She has taken her most commonly asked questions and put them into a book. And you can purchase this book, and it's like having a net lion right next to you.
Yes.
And you can look up all of those tricky little things. Like for me, it's lay and lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I email her about 3 times a week, and she's so nice to answer those for me. But I think from now on, she's probably going to go, Tristy, look in the book. But I'm so excited to have that. And you can go to her blog and just click on the link and purchase it.
Isn't it a lion's tail? A-L-Y-O-N-S-T-A-L is the name of the blog. Mm-hmm,
but the URL is, I believe it's Annette Lyon is the URL.
Okay.
So check that out. But I'm so excited. I pre-ordered. I was actually the first one.
Were you really?
I was. I emailed her and I said, you know, hey, I just put in my order. She says, you were the first one. I'm like, ka-ching.
So, I think I was down there a little
I bet she wasn't that surprised. She's like, hey, maybe I won't have to answer 3 emails a week.
Yay.
Yeah. But
so
that's
a good resource. I think I want that just for when I'm writing different reviews or when even just to know for when I'm reading a book if it's proper use of the grammar.
And it is so affordable.
Or when I'm talking, heaven forbid. Because when I speak, it's scary sometimes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how much it was. I bought so many books that day.
Yeah, I actually got mine directly through CreateSpace. Okay. And by the time we paid for the book, which was $8.95, and then the shipping, it came out to like $12 and just little
change.
That's
not much to have all that information.
Exactly.
Very good. And I love the cover. The cover is hilarious.
Oh, the cover's great.
Isn't it fun?
And so I'm so excited to get mine. I don't know when it's going to be shipped, but it's going to sit next to my keyboard.
So, for potential authors out there, go look up There, There, There by Annette Lyons. Yeah.
Potential current
exactly.
authors.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I've just published my fourth book and I'm still very lost. And so, you need this book. I'm so excited to get it.
That's so comforting for people like me to hear. Because I know it would not be pretty. Nobody's first book is ever pretty. really. I mean, there's always, yeah, you have to polish and, mm-hmm. and learn as you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Sheila, you have a whole pile of books here. Why don't you go ahead and start on
here? I was just going...
You were done, right, Tristy?
I don't really have, you know, it's really funny. I was trying to figure out what was going on with me. I read so fast and furious from January through March. Mm-hmm. I had like 22 books I had to read before I voted for the Whitneys, and it was like, oh.
After the Whitneys, did you find yourself taking a little breather?
I was. I started doing a little bit more blogging. I started just not reading at all for a while because I just had to take a breather, which is really weird. And also, we were starting to get into a lot of the testing at school. Mm-hmm. So I was just beat by the time I came home from school. You know, I'm just kind of, ugh. I just wanted to mention a few books. You already mentioned Bone Warriors, which I received a review copy of that. So I'm reading that. At the LDS Storymakers Conference, I purchased Luann Staley's new book called When Hearts Can Join about the Heron twins. And I'm just starting to read that. But it's, I mean, I wish I had, I'm going to make the time to read more of this today. I mean, because it's so well written.
It's very well written.
It's very personable and personal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I mean, and, you know, we all feel like we kind of know the twins because we were all there watching on TV. And
so covered by the media.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you just get the background of really what was going on. It just, you know.
So much that we don't know that's behind.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to get Luann
and those
here.
Girls are just adorable.
Are they darling? They're my son's age. They were born the same year that
son was? Wow.
Yeah, that he was born. So it's kind of fun. I just read and blogged about Bright Blue Miracle by Becca Wilhite. I met her at the conference, and she's so cute. And she's just...
I love the toenails on the front.
Isn't that a fabulous cover? That's got to be one of the best covers. So what was fun, I'd seen this book before, and then she slid it across the table, and I just started... wanting to read that, you know, it's just, I noticed the toenail.
Yeah, we got a copy of it. I just have not been able to get to it yet because reading for the Whitney
Lines. And it's a very easy read, but it has a great story. And there's just so much emotional things going on for this girl. Her mother, her father.
It's about
died.
A teenager. Right?
It is, and her mother's just remarrying. And you know.
Would this be like young adult or? Like,
yeah, it would be. I would
like say high school.
Yeah, I would say the young adult age group would read it. But I'm going to have my daughter also read it, though, who's a little bit younger, just because it talks about a girl who comes from a broken home and, you know, and a mother remarrying. And hopefully that will happen in my future someday. But and then getting to that, I just wanted to mention a book. I haven't. This is the story of my life. I'm currently reading like 8 to 12 books. Usually what I do, unless I get one that's really, really good and I put everything else aside.
I just like your bookmark.
My bookmark? my current bookmark is something that my son brought home from school. It's this little creature that Caleb colored.
Just colored.
Yeah. It's sad. I mean, most of them, one is my old card for LDS Women's Book Review. The
other my husband uses toilet paper, so.
Really? Oh, he takes the cake. He wins.
He probably wouldn't want everyone knowing.
Oh, you know, he's awesome.
I just use whatever happens to be around.
That's what I do,
like,
too.
A part of a toy, a pen.
Even though my favorite bookmark that I received at the library, at last year's library program, they gave it out to the adults that read, it's the kind that has the magnet, so you can put it, you lift it up, and the magnet on each side, and you can put it on either side of the page. You never lose your bookmark. Mm-hmm. I love that one. But getting to the book that I bought, it is called Finding Wholeness and Happiness After Divorce.
Who's the author?
It is A. Dean Bird. And I just got this at the outlet. I'm so sad that closed.
I know.
The Desert Book Outlet. Oh, it was sad.
It was so close and convenient.
It was. It was very nice and convenient.
So far what you've read, has it been helpful to you?
Yeah, it has been. You know, so far it has been. I mean, this is not my favorite type of reading.
No.
I mean, Hillary loves reading nonfiction, and I'll read some nonfiction, but I mean, to pick up and feel good and get myself lost, this is not the book that I'm reading.
Especially because it's something you're living.
I know, living through this right now, but as far as a book talking about divorce, it's been very good. And I love he has a section here, Why Is Single Parenting So Hard? And I know it's hard.
Well, is that your list?
I think I said that at last time. I also read... and blogged about Confessions of a Completely Insane Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was fun. Wasn't that great? I'm still laughing about so many of those stories. That's about all I've done. But I said, I've still got all these books going on that I'm...
The reason why is because that would make a good transition into a book. My sister gave me this for Mother's Day. It's a Time Out classic by Chris Stewart called Refining Joy in the Last Days.
Really?
And I read this in less than an hour. It's... you know, it's a smaller book. It's hardcover. It's really nice. Has a fortune cookie on the front with a little message sticking out that says, God's gift of joy is always worth the price. And it's 60 pages long. I've read Chris Stewart's first book in his Great and Terrible series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't really quite know how I felt about it, but I'm going to give the rest of the series a chance because the first one in a series, like we've talked about previously with Fable Haven, usually, I mean, it's the first one. You have to kind of get into it, which is, I think Hillary just doesn't like to waste her time having to get into things, and that's why she doesn't care for series.
She doesn't like series. I love series.
But, you know, it's mainly if you get past the first one and you get into the second one. If you don't like the second one, then don't. The second and the third one's icky, don't even bother. But, you know, sometimes it takes that second book to really get in there and mean something to you. I haven't read the rest of them. I just read that one. But this is a nonfiction book by Chris Stewart. And like I said, it was given to me by my sister. And I sat down the other day and read it, and I love it. As I was reading it, it was personal to me. Like, he's just down to earth. He's just kind of saying how he made points about things I didn't even realize. Making parallels with Moses and the story of Lehi and his family living in Jerusalem and life now, and how the fundamental things about humanity haven't changed. We all still want happiness. Right. And then just some of the points he makes. Have you read this one?
I have not read it, but I'm getting very curious.
He makes some really good points. I want my husband to read it. And then I actually have a non-member sister-in-law who I would love to give this to. It's not preachy at all. He makes some scriptural references, but there's much Bible as anything else. Mm-hmm. She was a member for about a year before she decided that she didn't want to do it anymore. But I think that she's having a really hard time finding happiness right now. But she is a Christian, and this is a very Christian-oriented book. It's not necessarily, I mean, it has references to Book of Mormon and Book of Mormon historical people. But because I don't want to say characters, because they're not characters. They're real-life people who lived on the earth and had struggles just like we do. So I want to give this to her and say, just find half an hour when you can sit down and read this cover to cover and don't fret about
the Book powerful. Of Mormon
things. It's not, you know, like I said, it's not necessarily life-changing, but it's one of those things I want to keep around and read every once in a while because it kind of gives you a little perspective shift.
Sometimes all you need is something small. To make a big shift in your life. You don't need something really huge and profound. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a little thought that makes you stop and look at yourself and go.
Well, you know, the other book that was small, that was even smaller than this that I liked that really made an impact was Dean Hughes' book.
I bought that one.
The
Cost of Winning.
The Cost of Winning.
Mm-hmm. I have not heard about that.
Really?
I am like a Dean Hughes fanatic. I want to be Dean Hughes when I grow up. And the poor man probably thinks I'm stalking him, but... I'm going to have to get that. Is that a new release older one?
I was actually sent that book a couple of years ago.
Was it 2 years ago or just last year? I'm thinking it was just last year.
It could have been last year. I have a copy I can show you so you know what it looks like. But I really, really like that book.
I would love to read that.
It's something I think, you know, The Cost of Winning is it's a reality check. And he talks about his own weaknesses and the things that, you know, are we where we are in our life when we look back? Are we really where we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And is it worth the cost of some of our behaviors and the things that we do and our attitudes and stuff. And I really like him. I never knew he wrote nonfiction. I don't know if he, because I don't really know a lot of Dean Hughes' work.
Oh, you need to know Dean Hughes' work.
So I want to. I have a lot of books to read. I've read a couple of his things. I read about the war, Saboteur.
Oh, Saboteur was that one very good.
Did I tell you about my great find at the library? You know how they sell books at the library? There was a brand new copy of Saboteur for 50 cents at the library.
Cow. Really?
I'm glad you did. Got this. Nobody did not know this is Dean Hughes, and I hadn't read it yet. So I was so thrilled.
Oh, wow.
Brand
That's
new.
Great.
It's like no one had really even read it, maybe once. And it was like, got it for 50 cents.
The other book I wanted to talk about is I was sent a book. And I wanted to get this read and reviewed by Mother's Day, but I didn't get it in enough time, and I wasn't able to finish it. But it doesn't matter about Mother's Day. It's a good book, period. It's called The Mother and Me, Real World Reflections on Growing into Motherhood.
Oh, I like that.
And it was edited by Catherine Leonard Soper. I want to say that's her name, Soper. And the foreword is by Beverly Campbell, whom I really like, Beverly Campbell. I've only read one of her books, and it was the... You Don't Need to Slay My Dragons, Just Take Out the Trash, which I think is one of the best marriage books I've read. I love it because she just puts an LDS look on it that's fair. It's true, and you know it is, and I like it. She's also written a couple books about Eve and the choice made in there was a foreword by Beverly Campbell, and I've read several of these stories that, I mean, there are things about, there's a story about a lady who, on her way home from visiting friends in Guatemala, I think it was, someplace like there, some Central or South American country, and her trip home with these two kids who weren't hers, but were her responsibility, right, to get to their adopted parents. And this was in the 80s, like the early 80s. And her, mm-hmm, and what she learned about motherhood from that experience of, you know, that she starts out her little essay, because it's a collection of essays from different women. And this, if you follow the Segula blog, a lot of these are the same women who write for the Segula blog.
Okay.
She talks about how they weren't mine to keep, nor were they mine to give away. Oh. But she was, mm-hmm, in charge of them, you know. And there's stories about miscarriage and child loss and first time parents and just motherhood in general. Something like happy everyone. Things and yeah. Something and there's poetry in here.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. There's poetry about, that's, you know, nice, the kind that's a little bit abstract about the umbilical cord and different things. I mean, some of it's a little bit artsy if you're into that kind of thing. I appreciate it. Good. But it's not my favorite, but right, I appreciate right. it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Total sense.
I'm not necessarily a poet.
No, it makes total sense.
So, but I appreciate the messages that are in there, mm-hmm, and that they open themselves up to write that poetry, because it can't be easy.
Looks
like
good.
There's this one, it's a little poem about this, the, you know, I miscarried late one night when I was groggy, perhaps a skinny laughing girl with soft blonde hair and green eyes as I dreamed the night before. And it talks about how, what she might have named her and different stuff like that. But then there's also ones about, you know, women who have learned to appreciate everything that they went through in their pregnancies, even though it was hard at the time. And I haven't read every single one, but I've read most of them, and I really like what I've read so far. It's nice because as I'm sitting there nursing my daughter, I'm reading these stories and I'm like, oh, this, I totally get this, you know? Yeah. So it's really all around, every mother can appreciate a book. It's called The Mother and Me.
That's good.
And then there's always the favorites, which I had to borrow back from Sheila.
Oh.
If you're looking, since we're talking about mother's books, I've recently went through, back through It's Okay to Take a Nap and Mothering with Spiritual Power by Deborah Sensingwood. So those are my recent readings. I revisited those, mm-hmm, and so I wanted to mention it again.
Good.
But those are the books that I have read recently. Besides, you know, I read High Country by Jenny Hansen, mm-hmm, and Traitor. I finished Traitor, and I don't know if we talked about
Traitor?
That before.
I love,
you know,
Traitor.
I want to read the sequel. I know it's out already.
You know, I got to endorse the sequel.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That was exciting.
You know, my first time through it, I actually stopped and took it back to the library.
Did you?
But I wanted to read it. I wanted to read it. So I got it out a second time, and I made it through the first, because Sheila kind of, she's like,
slow.
It was a little slow at first.
It was slow at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It took me a little bit to connect at the beginning, but then she says, just get to about page 117. And then you'll start.
I couldn't put it down after that.
I got to about page 117. All of a sudden, I was like flipping pages again. You know?
See, told you.
And also, it became more personal to me because my grandpa is a 100% German man. Well, he was, you know, before. And he had strong features, a little dimple in his chin, you know.
So you're kind of blonde, thinking Ralph going on there.
And my mom's mom was a petite English, dark haired, pretty, beautiful, with, she had a little bit of Spanish background, which is how she got the dark hair.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of reminded me of them a little bit, you know, Rolf Schulman, and he's, you know, this loving, caring Mormon, mm-hmm, German man. And so then it just kind of, you know, it's kind of nice because I could picture, mm-hmm, my grandpa instead of, you know, the guy on the cover,
right,
and my grandma, and just
exactly
kind of,
this
then it, and then, mm-hmm, it was kind of nice because then I made my connection there. Yeah. But before Rolf kind of came into the picture and everything, it was just kind of dragging a little bit.
Now, I was sucked in right from the beginning because she has such a rich writing style.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with all the reading I do, I kind of expect each book to start sounding the same. And Sandra Gray's writing style is so different from the other things I'd been reading. From the first paragraph, I stopped and I went, wow,
well, all of a sudden she's really in this plane rich. And she's, you know, and that's why I wanted to read it. It just, when I had all this bookload from Whitney Awards and I was trying to get through all these books and trying to, it was always there sitting at the top of my list, get to this one. But I found myself like flipping to the next one, to the next one, because it just kind of seemed a little daunting at first. But like I said, once I got into it, past that first 100 pages, I wanted to read it. I knew, I could tell it was kind of more of an epic type of book than your usual fiction. Well, or LDS fiction.
You can see why she won the Whitney Award for Best Novel of the Year for that book.
I was so excited. You know. And Tribunal, which is the second one in the series, it does get started a little bit quicker.
Good. Okay.
It's more the story of his friend Hans.
I really like Hans.
The things that happened to him, but Rolf and Marie are still very much.
So we get to figure out what happens to Rolf. I mean, talk about ending with a killer cliffhanger. Hello, Sandra.
Well, I didn't feel like that was a killer cliffhanger. I felt like it was.
Oh, I did.
I felt like it was my family member that I needed to know more about. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just kind of like, it wasn't a killer cliffhanger. It just had a hold. Do you know what I mean? Like it grabbed a hold of me, but I wasn't like, oh no, now what? I just was like, okay, I'm just going to move on to the next one because I'm just, you know, that is there. It's got a hold on me.
You don't know when the next book is coming out, Jeff, and you leave a killer cliffhanger. Jeff's never going to.
Well, do you know what, though? This is my feeling. He cannot kill Bobby now
because
he has made us wait for so long.
Exactly.
And plus, Chandra and Bobby have to end up together.
Yes, they do.
He has totally set it up for them to. I made that comment in my critique group the other night, and they're all, you think? And I'm like, yeah.
As readers, we're dictating what's going to happen next. So was it too weird, our presentation? Like, we didn't know.
Do you think he was mad at us? Of course he wasn't mad at you. I haven't heard back from him.
He is just so busy.
I hope you weren't real mad at us.
I talked to him afterwards, he's like, it's great. So
yeah, but you can't ruffle him. He has such a good sense of humor.
Well, when you're friends with James, I mean,
you have to have a good sense of humor to, you know, be friends with James. You know,
James is horrible or anything. He's hilarious. Oh. But Kate, speaking of recent reads with the Hunt for Dark Infinity, how far are you into that?
I'm only about 20 pages.
Okay. I haven't gotten to it either, just because of all the Whitney reading. There's like all these books that have just recently come out, and not Jessica Day George's book is out now.
The Midnight Ball one or the other one?
Her third book.
Oh, the Dragon Spear or something like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's three books. Three books. I'm getting the Hunt for Dark Infinity, the second book, because I fell in love with Tick right away in the first
book.
I mean, he was my pick for youth fiction. I know maybe I shouldn't admit that, but there's something that he did in that book that just caught me, and I love it. So I want to read the second one, and then I also want to get Fablehaven 4. And then I need to get Jessica Day George's Dragon Spear. I have three books on my list I have to get right now. Tonight, maybe.
Okay, now that we're talking a little bit about LDS Storymakers Conference, I really would like Tracy to tell us about your exciting news that we found out about at the Storymakers Conference.
Yes, I am going to be co-chairing the next Storymakers Writers Conference along with Jamie Thieler. And we are so excited. I actually chaired it the first and the second years.
That's what I was under the impression that you've done this before.
Yeah, it has changed so much since those 2 years I was in charge. When we started out our first year, we had about 40 attendees.
Wow.
The second year, we had about 70. This last year, just last month, we had over 265.
Oh, and I was one of them. It was so exciting.
Wasn't it wonderful? Did
Fabulous
you just love
conference.
It? You know, we really work hard to pull together something that anyone can enjoy, whether you're just starting out writing, whether you've been doing it for years, because there's no such thing as ever really learning everything you need to know.
There's always something to learn.
And so we try to hit the whole gamut of different writing abilities and different places where you are with your writing.
Well, and I have to say that they have done that. They did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like as a brand new writer, you know, just getting into the whole thing, I had all my needs met. And also having a class for children, because I'm writing some children's picture books. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, yay, you had something even in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to do youth fiction also, but I just felt like, it was so nice. And you recently just told me that you're still going to have some classes?
We are.
Right, for that.
We're going to still have children's classes. We're also branching out into screenwriting. And we want to make this conference very applicable to anyone who is in any form of writing. And that you don't just have to be a fiction author. You don't just have to be, you know, a nonfiction writer. But you can be a screenwriter, a children's book writer, any number of different genres. We want to be able to meet your needs in that.
So for anyone out there, you know, that's interested, they already have the dates and the place already. But I don't think actual sign-ups for being able to register January.
Well, we're actually going to start registering December 1st.
Ooh, great. Can we get a discount if we do register early?
Well, we're looking into that.
Last year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought you were trying to bum a deal.
No, 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 no.
No. Yeah, the registration price, I think we're going to be able to leave pretty much as it's always been. Excellent. And but there is one point I really, really want to make.
What's that?
We are choosing the dates of April 23rd and April 24th, and this will be at the Provo Marriott. This is the same weekend as BYU graduation. You need to reserve your hotel rooms right away if you want to be able to get hotel rooms. Every hotel in the entire valley up to Sandy was booked.
Wow.
This year. And so what we're going to do is on our registration page, there's going to be a link that'll take you right to the hotel, and you can just click on that and get your room immediately. As soon as registration opens on December 1st, I encourage you to reserve that hotel room, because you might not get a hotel room if you need one. So let me just plant that, seed.
Just, is that just the best weekend that was available?
Yeah, there are scads of other writers' conferences all during that. And then just different events being held. And we checked out weeks before and weeks after. And we used to do the conference in March, actually, but we've moved it to April to give the Whitney judges time.
See, that works. So, we really appreciate
it. Yeah.
We need that extra month.
Exactly. Because, you know, last year, the first year, all the judges were reading so fast and so furious, and they didn't feel like they had enough time to really digest what they were reading.
I agree.
And I totally agree.
With the Whitney Awards coming the evening that the conference is over, we decided to move the conference back to April. And so then we run into all these other things. And we find that a lot of our attendees don't have much of a conflict with the graduation, except for when it comes to getting those hotel rooms.
Okay. So as long as you get a hotel room booked.
Okay.
Or if you have family members in the area.
That's what I did.
Yes,
I went and stayed with
family
my
members. Or,
and it's not too far of a drive from here.
It's really not. So. But if you want to stay in the hotel, which is fun because it's like a big slumber party.
You know what? I might do that.
And then everything's so convenient. And so convenient and so there.
Yeah. So can you book a room with someone else and half the price?
You can.
You
can.
Would you just have to make arrangements with that other person?
I imagine that's what you do. Okay. Yeah, you know, go down with two friends.
Well, if we decide to go, we can just...
Yeah, you can just share together.
I won't be nursing then.
That's good.
Yeah, whole year away. Okay, no one is nursing. You're all set to go.
Yeah, that'd be, and then, you know, it would be really nice to be able to be in the hotel. So after the classes are over, if there's a time we want to talk to different authors or different people,
then we can chase
them
down.
Or you can just make arrangements and say, hey, and we could just, you know, hop over to their room and plug in or something like that and just, you know. That would be a lot of fun, especially if we tell everyone, hey, we're meeting at Josie's room at 9:30, so if you want to come and
party.
Podcast with us.
Yeah, this
party
in
Josie's room.
This may be news to Josie, but you know.
Well, I know. Yeah, she'd probably be game. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, she would.
But
we could all head over to Michelle's house because her house is really, really close.
Is it?
So we'll just all go over to Michelle's.
There you go.
That'd be fun. So I it sounds good to me. I'm going to mark that weekend down because I know some of the classes that she was telling me about, that Sheila was telling me about that were offered this past year were very interesting to me, even though I'm not necessarily planning on writing a book per se, just you know, I'm interested.
Even
I've always loved writing.
I still
writing.
Think there is a book hidden there.
Oh, I know there's somewhere in there, but it's not ready to come out yet. My difficulty comes and I want to take the classes, but I also want to talk to people
exactly.
too. So it's like,
exactly.
So
yeah.
I gotta try to, can you sign up for just however many classes you want? Or is it just a whole
You
time?
Just pay for the weekend or
and
you can
you
come
just
Friday
just
or just Saturday.
Classes.
And then if you don't want to go to a particular class, you can just wander off and
you
well,
can just stand
chat.
In the hallway and talk to everybody. Like a lot of people do.
Yeah, so I
do
can
lots
spend
of that.
Some odd dollars just to stand there and talk to people.
Oh, but think about the people you're standing there and talking to.
That's true.
These are people that you would not just bump into at the grocery store.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, the people you sit and eat lunch with and just everything. Mm-hmm. I was amazed.
But like who?
Just all of our friends that we podcasted with. I mean, all these authors.
Well,
it's just so
like,
much fun. You know,
no, it's
really
great.
Scary.
It would be worth it just to be down there.
And I blogged about this. What was really scary, I really felt at home. It was like I finally found a group of people I fit in with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, these are the people that I've been waiting all of my life to find, because they love books, they love writing. It's like I found my home.
You know, doing that with the podcast and all the authors that we've met and the people that we've talked to, I feel the same way. Like these are my kind of people.
Yeah.
These are book
this
people.
Is it. Yep.
I was the only reader in my family. These are my kind of people, book people. You know, I just love it. And I'm excited to have you, you know, giving us all this information. about what's going to happen. I hope you'll keep us up to date.
Oh, I will.
So we can know everything. And you said the class schedule is going to be available by December.
It is going to be put up with the registration. And so you can look at that.
That is really good.
There may be a little bit of tweaking, like if we discover that one presenter can't make it until four, you know. But you'll still have a basic class list, and then you'll know.
So you will know what the offerings are.
You'll know what the offerings are. Exactly. But we'll try to get it as finalized as we can before it's posted. But you never know when last minute things are going to pop up. Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
I know with the panels, when they did the panels, that people were just asking questions right off. Could we ever, like, submit questions beforehand?
You could, but we're actually not going to be having as many panels this year.
Okay.
But the panels that we do have, we're just going to have you write them down on slips of paper.
Excellent. I like that.
And then
idea.
Having the moderator read them.
Excellent. See, I thought that would, be a really good idea.
And then that way, too, sometimes somebody's in the back and they can't hear. Mm-hmm. And so having the moderator read the question will also help everyone to be able to hear.
Now, when Rob moderated the panel, he did a really excellent job because he would repeat every question. He did a real good job doing that, especially in the bigger rooms.
And we're going to have some bigger rooms this year. And so getting those microphones and getting everything is going to be a big plus there. Very
good. I'm already excited. It's a whole year away.
Well, I was like the week after, and I know I posted something on Facebook. I'm going through Storymaker conference withdrawal. Yeah. It felt awful. I just kind of was listless around the house because I wanted to be back there with the energy that you feel there.
There's an amazing energy. Feeling. There's friendship, there's camaraderie, you get connected with people.
We only get a hint of that at the awards, you know, like before the awards ceremony and after when we talk to people, you get a hint of that, but it's probably not the same as being immersed in it.
Yeah.
Not to get the full measure, you have to be there.
Well, you've got a whole year to plan it out, so
I'll start saving my pennies now. And
save some pennies for the bookstore. All the authors who are there bring their books.
Amen.
The conference itself is actually really reasonable. We are the lowest priced conference for what we offer. You will not find the level of teaching that we offer for less.
Wow.
It's extremely reasonable. The money comes in the bookstore. Because you're going to want all the books. Because the authors are there to sign them.
Yeah, she told me about all the books that she bought.
Even Hillary spent like $50 in there. She spent a lot. But I actually didn't. I ran through there, but I had forgotten about it until it was all closed up again. And then it was like,
My only advice for people that go to the bookstore, go the first day of the conference and get everything you want.
Exactly.
Because I went back at noon on the first day, on that Friday, at noon, at lunchtime, and like two of the books that I wanted were already gone.
Yeah, they were out of Jeanette Rawlinson's.
Yes, that was the one I wanted.
But yeah. Yeah, and I didn't get over there until Saturday night, so...
There was really nothing.
Yeah, that's when I was there, and I had skimmed through, and there were a couple books that looked interesting, and then I just got all caught up with the, and I just forgot. But let's move on because I want to make sure we have lots of time to talk about your books.
Okay,
yes, definitely.
Okay, I want to know what was your first one because you have four here.
I do have four
Which
here.
Which one was your?
I have helped to co-author two nonfiction books about writing that I did with the LDS Storymakers, but these are the books These are my fiction that I brought here
you
today.
You did that with the writing and then the publishing books?
Yes. Yeah, we did the publishing secrets first, and then we had a whole bunch of people come back and say, well, I need to know how to write before. We thought, you know.
Those are the ones that I saw.
Yeah.
A couple of the ones I saw.
And a lot of people... We felt that a lot of people would have writing resource books, but when we put ours together, we found that there were specific questions that our audience was looking to have answered. And so we put those together and just very personable, and we had a lot of fun doing that.
I imagine since all the fun people you get to work with.
Oh, we're crazy. What can I say? We have a good time.
Nothing to Regret is your first one?
Nothing to Regret is my first book. This one came out in 2002. And it is a historical fiction. Isn't that a great picture? Yeah. That's my little daughter on there. And
we saw a picture of her. She's not so little anymore.
She's a teenager now. But this book is historical fiction. It's set during World War II. And it revolves around the Japanese internment camps during World War II.
Already has my interest.
My main character is a Japanese American. He was...
Ken Sugihara?
Sugihara. Mm-hmm. And he and his parents are interned in Topaz, which is just down here by Delta in Utah. And so I tell the story of what happened to the Japanese internees. And then I take his story a little bit farther, and he goes on an espionage mission over to Japan
Over to Japan.
Over to Japan. Mm. I did not get to go there to research. People ask me that. I wish I did. But I have been down to Delta several times, and they are getting ready to rebuild some of the barracks that were down there in Topaz so that people can go down and walk through.
So is this an actual picture?
That is a picture that was taken at one of the other internment camps, but they were all set up in pretty much the same way. So that kind of gives you an idea of what Topaz would have looked like, even though that picture isn't.
Well, I know that I read a little bit about that in Saboteur.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they had one of the characters was based there.
Yeah.
And, of course, the story, the family lived in Delta.
Yeah.
So,
inspiration behind this book. What made you want to write this? I mean, for this being the first book to be published, kind of amazing. You know, that you get started with this topic.
Yeah, kind of a quick little background. I've always wanted to write, but I always felt that it was something I was going to have to do after my kids were grown. Right, right. Well, one night I had this really weird dream that I was a man. That was weird. that I was flying over to Japan to retrieve my illegitimate daughter.
Whoa.
And it was during World War II. And I woke up from this dream and I thought, okay, I don't know what I was smoking last night. But
no kidding.
And this was the weekend that my grandmother had passed away. And the next day we were driving up to Logan for her funeral. And I said to my husband, I had the weirdest dream and I think it would make an incredible book. And so I told him my dream as we were driving up, and he said, you're right, that would be a really, really good dream. Well, I went online. I'm like, I know nothing about this era, and I was just looking through different World War II sites. You know how at the bottom of websites it'll say contact webmaster?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I clicked on one of those, and I just threw the question out to the cosmos. I said, okay, here's my plot. What do you think? And he emailed me right back and he said, amazing. You know, the way for this to work is if your character was a Japanese American, because then he could go over to Japan and do espionage work. Cause see, that was in my dream, was the espionage work. And, he could do that without catching anyone's attention. And that's how I discovered the whole Japanese American
plotline.
What
an amazing thing. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I mean, seriously.
Book number 4 on my
entire
list.
Yeah, no
kidding. Is this even available? Is this still in print?
This is actually, only available through me right now, but I have it on sale.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, good. This is good. Very mucho cheapo right now.
Okay.
Like
where you'll tell us after?
Sure. Or I can
just tell, us right
tell everybody. If you go to my website, my website is being completely overhauled right now, so you might want to wait like a week. Uh-huh. But I have these for $4.
Oh, ooh, yes.
Okay. So anyway, just
a little.
You
didn't bring any extras with you?
A little plug-in. You can take this one.
Okay,
Well, I will be seeing you again in the future,
okay,
so we can do that. And then my second book. Do you have any more questions about this, or should we?
No.
Other than I can't wait to read it.
Okay, yeah, I know. I've heard a lot of good.
Can
things.
I tell you a little secret, just really quick, before we move on? A secret to be put on the internet for lots of people.
Yes.
Okay. When I first met Dean Hughes and embarrassed myself horribly because I was so stage struck, he actually asked me some questions about Delta because he was researching for Saboteur at that time. I had already done some Delta research, and so he sat and he talked with me for about half an hour, and I made a total idiot out of myself, and I'm sure I sounded like a big flake. But anyway, I got to talk with him about Delta a little bit. So it was really freaky. It was at our first Storymakers Writers Conference. I was 9 weeks pregnant. And he comes in and he sits down in my historical fiction class. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking,
was this with your second son?
That's no, my fourth actually, my fourth child. And I'm sitting here the whole time going, that's Dean Hughes. And he just walked into my class and I'm teaching. And halfway through, I said, do you guys know who that is? Dean Hughes is in my historical fiction class. Okay, I'm better now. But anyway, so that's my Dean Hughes story.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah. That was really exciting for me.
Cool.
So
I think I would have had a hard time breathing.
It was so hard.
Breathing.
I had my notes and everything, but I was having such a hard time concentrating because that was Dean Hughes. Like, what could I possibly say that Dean Hughes would even want to hear?
Oh,
but
that's how I feel like being surrounded by all these authors and the awards and stuff.
Hi. It would be very intimidating.
Well, it was worse the first year because I didn't recognize faces as well.
Right.
I didn't really know the people. So, yeah. I mean, I think I saw you for the first time.
Yeah. That's where we met, was at the Whitney's.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was back at her table blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my I lit a corner.
Hey, yeah. and you're Tristy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's me. And I'm like, oh, okay. it's easy to get starstruck with when you meet all these people that you just, especially if you adore them and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
That's how I felt when I met Dorothy Kennington.
You met her?
Yeah, wow. Her daughter-in-law was my visiting. She's my friend.
Oh, there
she's
you go.
In my ward.
Uh huh.
And I went over to my daughter-in-law or her daughter-in-law's house. She lives with her mom and her family. You know, her sons and her her daughter. And she told me, you know, Dorothy's coming over because she was her favorite author, and she married her favorite author's son. It was awesome. But
that's romantic.
I you know, she was my visiting teacher. She came over and she's like, yeah, my mother-in-law's my favorite author. I'm like, oh yeah, because I'd met many Kenningtons and and I mean, Dorothy's husband was my science teacher for 2 years. So I met her, and the first thing she did was come over and gave me this big hug, and she didn't even know me, and I was like, hi. You know, it's like, so yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. You know, you meet your favorite, like this author that you know that you love, even though, I mean, Dean Hughes is on this side of the spectrum.
Like,
I mean,
way,
he's very several hundred, huge. You know, like 100-something books.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. Good story.
My stepmom either was the visiting teacher to or was the companion of Liz Lemon Swindle.
Really?
Yes. LDS artist, Liz Lemon Swindle.
That is not a name I'm familiar with.
You need to go to Deseret Book or Siegel and walk around and look at the paintings. And she is amazing. And she's in my dad and his wife's ward.
Cool. All these connections.
Yeah. I was calling her for a fundraising thing once. I was so nervous. I'm like, hi. You know, my name is what's my name? What's my name? Yeah. But, so that was very starstruck for me.
Dorothy's called me at my house twice.
Ooh.
Well, she's mad.
And the first time, I met her, and then she called me to ask if I would read her book and write a letter of recommendation to
a
publishing company. And it was a manuscript that she wrote. And
so you got to read it before.
I have my own copy of it in a pretty little box she gave me. Mm-hmm. And I wrote my little letter, and apparently she really liked it. And so I was like, wow. And she gave my daughter a gift when she was born. And I was like, oh, these things that you never, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager reading her books and everything, I never would have imagined that she would be letting me read one of her manuscripts before I even went to the publisher it's such a privilege to work with somebody, to have anything to do with somebody that you like so much. So,
you know, Dean Hughes didn't send me a present when my son was born, but that's okay.
Well, I was very pregnant. Plus, my daughter's name is Aislinn, which is a form of Aisling from her Aisling of Ire book. So,
yeah, I recognize that connection there. Yeah, so.
I know. But it means so dream or vision, and I dreamed about my daughter before I became pregnant with her.
There
so I thought it was really appropriate.
It was.
That works.
So,
that
totally let's works. Move on to your next book, because I'm really excited to see what the swastika
just so
was...
you know, was also on sale.
Okay.
This book is called Strength to Endure. It is also set in World War II, but it's on the other side of the world. So with my first book, we were dealing with the war in the Pacific. And with this book, we're dealing with the war in Europe.
Okay.
And my characters in this one, the main character, the main character is a girl who grows up in a household that's divided politically. Her father fought with Hitler during World War I, but became disenchanted with his ideologies and so forth. But her brothers are very pro-Hitler. And so she's hearing all this from both sides in her home. She doesn't know what to think. And then
eventually, the man she loves.
She falls in love with a young man, and they get married. And then they are taken to a concentration camp because they took in a Jew who had escaped from Dachau, which was near where they were living, near Nuremberg. And so they take in the Jew, and then they're taken to Dachau. And it tells the story of what happened to her. But then the point of view shifts as she has a daughter, and she manages to smuggle the baby out of Dachau. And it follows the story of the daughter throughout her life and how it comes full circle back around at the end. So,
okay. I'm good. As you were talking, I was skimming and reading one of the chapters that was a little bit further in the book, and I'm like, and it was talking about the baby. Like you were, and I was like, Okay, I'm sorry. I'm interested.
Yeah,
like
this
that one.
This book won a publication award from the League of Utah Writers.
Ooh,
about
nice.
2 years ago.
Congratulations.
Awesome. I didn't really know what it was when it came. I hate to say I had submitted it for the contest, didn't hear anything.
Right.
And then I got this certificate in the mail, and I'm opening it up, and I'm like, I think I won something, but I don't know what it was.
Oh, you're so funny.
So I emailed the story makers. I said, I just got this certificate. What does this mean? And they're all, oh, you need to go online. And so there was the grand prize for second, and then right. there was like the certificate level, and that's where I placed. And so just to even place, I was like, ooh.
That is unreal.
So I've got the certificate.
Oh, that's very good. Very good.
It's
wow,
yeah.
wonderful.
Oh. So.
And then I remember when I'm sorry, I don't want to prematurely.
Oh, we're good.
No, I saw uh-huh. Season of Sacrifice earlier, and I remember hearing all about this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember.
And I wanted to get to read it, but I never did get a chance to. But this is one. This is about this is kind
it
of
is.
Based on your family.
Yes.
The
My
hole in the rock.
Grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I remember reading all about this, and the reviews were great.
Weren't they?
I've got to get to read this book. But anyway, your book is based on your family.
It is.
Right?
It was my great-great-grandfather. Let me show you how handsome he was.
Okay. Yeah, show me.
He was born and raised in Wales, if I can remember exactly.
So he probably had a very interesting accent.
I'm told that he did. And he was...
Ooh, he's a cute guy.
He yes. was put into
is
the coal mines.
Is he who
mines.
Your son is named after?
He is.
I love
him. I had just finished this book when I had my son, and so my son's Aww. Name was going... It just had to be Benjamin. There was no other name in the world. But wow. this Benjamin Perkins, had been sent to the coal mines at the age of 6. And his job at that time was carrying water to the miners. But as he got older, he learned how to use the blasting powder and mm-hmm. how to do all that. And so when he immigrated and came to Utah, he and his wife settled in Cedar City. And then they were asked to go on this expedition. And all of his knowledge of using the blasting powder came into play. Because when they got to this cliff,
and this is
there
an actual picture.
That is an actual picture of looking down the hole to the river. And they had to figure out how to take their covered wagons down that. And what he ended up doing was blasting holes along this cliff wall, the north cliff wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they put oak staffs into the holes. And if you kind of imagine, like, if here's the cliff wall, I know this is terrible when you can't see me, but if you imagine the oak staff sticking out from the wall, and then the wagons went down on the oak staffs, they made a road. And it was it was engineered very cleverly, because if the holes were too far apart, then the wagon wheels would get stuck.
Right,
right. right.
But if they were too close together, then the holes could break into each other and it would fall apart. And the amazing thing about this is they did all of this with only the tools that they had at that time as pioneers in the late 1800s. And Ben was illiterate. He did all of the math in his head.
Wow.
To figure out how to do it.
Wow.
And it is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And I had access to the life story that he dictated to someone. He never did learn how to read and write.
But he just told his
story. And he told his story and someone typed it down. And then I also used some family history books that somebody else had put together. And that was the backbone for this book.
Wow. I mean, this is a good size book. I mean, it's not
it
too
is.
Thick, but it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a good story.
It's 300 and some odd.
Well, if you count the index thing.
There
the,
are
the
some.
Family history.
Yeah, this book is a little bit more of a history rather
right,
than
right.
just
novel.
Than a novel. It's right. written in novel form, but in the back I've got the captains of the different companies who went there, and I've got a list of everyone who was on the journey.
It makes me interested to see, because my husband has a lot of family in southern Utah.
Yeah.
Some of them were part of the Mormon Battalion.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know, different things. Like, so I'm
You'll need to go
I'm
through
I'm going
to
be looking
see,
through for some family names.
Because that's a complete list there. And so this book isn't just a novel about it, but it's also a good historical resource to the event.
Sarah Perkins and her 9 daughters. Did she have, she only
yes.
had one son.
She had one son and then
oh,
9 daughters.
That's him right there in the background.
Yeah. Poor
9
boy got
daughters.
Kicked out of the...
You know what? I love my girls. I have 3
uh-huh.
and just the one boy, but I don't know if I can handle 9.
Well, the thing about
the
story. A lot
of estrogen
story,
in that house.
The thing that is so interesting about this, when Benjamin was given his patriarchal blessing, he was told that his descendants would be like the seed of Abraham, that they would spread everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
His first wife was only able to have a few children, Part of the story goes into the fact that he was called to live the principle of plural marriage.
Right.
He married his sister-in-law, which caused a huge emotional rift in the family. But it is through his second wife, Sarah, that all those descendants have come to pass. If you compare Sarah's descendants to his first wife, Marianne's descendants, I mean, Sarah's descendants are everywhere. And I go and I speak to different groups about the Hole in the Rock Pioneers. In almost every group I've ever spoken to, somebody is sitting there going, and I'm like, am I related to you? Yes.
Oh, my
because
word.
We've come through those lines and I have found cousins and it is just amazing to me. So yeah, I'm descended from the second wife. And so that's why this book actually was self-published, is that the LDS publishers right now aren't picking up stories about polygamy. And
I see.
I felt that this story was important to tell in its entirety. I did consider taking out the part about polygamy and just telling about the hole in the rock, but then
that was his story.
Whether we like it or not, that is
exactly
how things were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's promoting.
Yeah, I didn't say, let's all do it right this minute because it sounds great. But, you know, I wanted to tell his story. And so I ended up self-publishing this book with BJ Rowley's help. He has his own publishing imprint.
I didn't realize that.
He did the typeset. He did the cover design. He essentially did everything to that book but write it.
Well, and I, like I said, I remember reading nothing but great reviews about this book.
It's by far my most personal that I've written, and I feel
like this was the first book I even knew you for. I didn't know. I mean, I had, like I said, I had just met you, and I had just been, when I first started doing the podcast, I had just barely gotten back into LDS fiction. I'd been away from the market for many years.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have been, and that's why we're trying to get
LDS
fiction back into people's minds and to get it out there, because it is not the same as it was 10 years ago.
It is not the same animal.
Totally.
No.
As it was 15 years ago, even. It is, it's so much more interesting and expanded, and there are things that that are making their way into, like the Whitney Awards are bringing about the higher quality, you know, the quality that it's not just about telling a mild story. It's about telling a good, real or moving story in a way that is still appropriate, but touches on the emotions, but more than just, you know, your cookie cutter books that was seemed like we had so many years ago.
When the choice was between, do I marry this return missionary or do I marry that return missionary? You
and the
know,
books that are, different points of view that are coming about. And there's books that are being really good books that have nothing to do with the church. You know, like adventure, mystery, suspense, youth fiction, you know, that are good stories that have good content that you feel comfortable letting your children or or you're knowing that when you go and you buy this a book from this author, it's going to be a really good story and you're not going to have to worry about turning the page and bedroom scene.
Yeah. You know, and not just any bedroom scene, mind you. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was but there also is a little bit more to them.
Exactly.
Than there used to be. You know, I mean, I know there's limitations of what kinds of words you can use and different things like that, but the emotion, you can get there.
You can.
You know, without feelings like things are so tame.
And I think that LDS readers are ready now for more of that. But so much of what we can and cannot write is dictated by the readers. And so we get kind of stuck in a bind here where some readers really want the nitty gritty stories and they want realism and they want to feel like these are real people. But it only takes two or three people going into the bookstore and saying, they held hands on this page and I'm offended. And the stores have to listen to those complaints. And so on the one hand, you
can
have
they
people,
listen to things like do the comments from readers who say this is exactly what I was looking for weigh in as much as the people who complain?
Actually, not as much. It takes
and that is
more,
a shame.
It takes more positive comments than it does negative comments to make
negative.
A sway. Because they consider that.
Well, don't the bookstores also have to look at sales, though?
They have to look at sales.
I mean, that's what their whole point.
They have
to
look at sales.
Money.
But they, in their minds, say, for instance, three negative comments. They think, okay, this represents how many other people who were also offended but just didn't come in.
I see.
And so we really do ride a fine line with the things that we publish. Now, in my first book, Nothing to Regret, I mentioned that there was an illegitimate child.
Right.
And that was central to the story that had to be there because the theme of the book is the power of the atonement is real.
Mm-hmm.
Without sin, why would we need the atonement? And
right.
so I needed to show some sin. Now, just as an illustration, they conceived this illegitimate child. The sentence that I used was, A half hour later, she rose from his bed and said, I must go now. That's all I said.
Which is
on the one hand, I had people emailing me, where did this baby come from?
They didn't know where the baby came
from, huh? I didn't see a bed scene. I have no idea where this baby came from. Where the baby? I'm like, it's that one sentence on that one page. Uh-huh. I went back and read that three times. That was a bed scene? It's like, that was a Tristy Pinkston bed scene.
That okay? was it.
And then I had some people email me and say, well, I don't read that kind of book.
Really?
And I'm like, that kind of book? Like that? Meaning, you know, what kind of that? And so you do run, you ride a very, very tight line with your morality issues there. And
well, not to go back to, to Dorothy Kennington, but she and I actually had a conversation about that when her book was actually pulled from shelves of a certain bookstore because of the mention of the existence of an illegitimate child.
Yeah.
And but there was I don't believe there's any church membership at the time. Or anything. I mean, it was just, it was part of the story. It had to do with adoption, exactly. which is what her central story was about the adoption of this child and, or, you know, or something like that, or, you know, the history of this child that was integral to the story. So I know it is a very fine line. It of course, is. This was, set, you know,
this would have been
about the same time. Ago. This is about the same time as your book came out.
But it is very hard because we have readers who say, well, I want more meat. But we have to be careful what we do because then there are the readers who have a different set point with what they will and will not tolerate in the reading. And so it does get a little trickier. And I also, this is why the LDS market is being so careful with polygamy. Is
I could see that.
I was shopping Season of Sacrifice around at the same time that Warren Jeffs got arrested. So there was a big, and so the timing really was not excellent, but I felt such an important drive to get that book published. And so I ended up just self-publishing it. And that turned out to be the very best because I could turn it out exactly as it was. And I do speak very, very bluntly about the emotions involved in polygamy. And I feel that I presented it in a way that people can understand because, you know, when we read church history and whatnot, we don't get into a lot of what the people went through.
And it's not
we don't get to a lot personal. Of the feelings.
But it's such a, I mean, marriage and spouse is such a personal thing.
It is.
And,
it is.
But so is also your relationship with the Lord and your belief and your level of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, it's not something that can be simply dismissed with the, well, this is how it was. And, and then, I mean, it really has to be experienced and explored to truly understand. And when I was younger, I didn't want to understand. So, you know, but as I've gotten older, it's part of our history. Why not understand that? Isn't that how we learn is from what we've been through?
Yeah,
exactly.
And what our history is. Mm-hmm.
So, you know? So history does not repeat itself.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, I'm just so glad that I, you know, that I'm not in that position because I would be a terrible polygamist. I would be terrible.
But I would be too.
Right. I would be like the evil.
I'm not a jealous girl at all.
I would be like the evil first wife, you know. But the thing about writing this book is that even though I still, you know, I don't totally get all the thing about it, is I came to an understanding that the people who lived it weren't necessarily in love with the idea of polygamy, but they wanted to be obedient to what they'd been asked to do.
It came down to that. Being obedient.
Yeah, and so I bring that out in the story, but I do talk a lot about the feelings and the emotions involved. And so that's why, you know, the publishers didn't really want to pick it up is because polygamy is just something that they're not. You can mention it as in, like Janet K. Jensen had a story that came out called Don't You Marry the Mormon Boys.
Yes, I actually have a copy of that.
Where
I'm
the girl came out of a polygamist home and then the guy was bringing her out of that. And so being brought out of it made it more agreeable. Whereas I'm talking about people living it and, you know, dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. And so that was kind of where the line was on that. But that book to me is kind
Season
of like
of
the, yeah, it's the pinnacle of why I became a writer. I feel like that book fills that whatever requirement was, you know, that mission that I was given. That's the book that I think I was made to write.
That's
so
powerful stuff.
Ooh, yeah. I had,
I know,
so,
I just got chills.
I did too.
I had so many experiences while writing that book that, I mean, it's just astonishing to me, but I grew so much as a person. And, you know, my understanding of, you know, my ancestors and about the gospel and about my own testimony, it's, that book was definitely
Wow. So was it a different experience than starting to write Agent in Old Lace, which is what we need to talk about now.
It was released.
It actually is being released today. I've had my copies for about 4 days.
Yeah, it was just on Monday, Tuesday.
I believe it was Tuesday. Right. I'm not.
We saw the pictures.
Yeah, did you love that?
I saw your blog this morning and I just laughed. Yeah,
I had to document the whole process of them arriving on the doorstep.
What is the URL to your blog?
It is tristypinkston.blogspot.com.
Okay, so it's your
name. It's very simple to remember, okay. Yeah.
I have a link from my blog.
Okay.
Now, I actually didn't go from writing Season of Sacrifice to writing Agent in Old Lace. Agent in Old Lace was actually written right after I wrote Strength to Endure. And it's just taken it a little while to get published.
And it is a mystery?
It is a contemporary mystery. Okay. It's the first contemporary book that I've ever written. And that was kind of an interesting leap for me because I'm so used to like researching heavily. Uh-huh. But this one was just fun for me. But I needed it because after I did all the research for Nothing to Regret, which deals with the internment camps and then the atomic bomb, and then Strength to Endure, which deals with the concentration camps in Germany.
I needed
something to kind of bring me out of that.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, the rough draft, the first thing I started working with, was probably just a couple of months, but it stunk. And I sent it out to my sisters, and every one of them were like, I just don't know about this.
So what would they say was wrong with it?
It had a lot of problems. I'd never written anything like that before. I was still fairly new to writing anyway, because I'd only written two books before. And I had started the book in the wrong place, which is like one of those fundamental things you are not supposed to do. Okay. There's a subplot in the story where Shannon's father is very sick and they have not been able to diagnose what it is. I had started the book with her concern over her father. And then I introduced the mystery further into the book. And I was on a road trip one day with Willard Boyd Gardner Candace Salima, and Candace writes romantic suspense.
Where were you guys going? We had so much fun. Same car with
we were going down to Elsinore, which is way down.
Southern Utah.
And we go down there every so often, just do like a little boutique thing. And because they don't have a bookstore there, they really love
when you guys show up.
And so we were going down there and it was just, we're having the most fun time. Those two are just so my best friends. They were talking about elements of suspense. And I'm sitting here going, you know, this book really needs to be more of a suspense. And so we spent a little bit of time talking about what needed to be done with this book. And I realized that we needed to start with the mystery. And you were saying, Sheila, that when you picked it up, you were immediately drawn in.
I was.
That would not have happened if that was my first draft you were holding. Because we start out with Shannon's concern over her father.
Right.
And this, in the first two pages, Shannon is actually taken at gunpoint.
Yes. I mean, you just, and boom, so, you're thrown into this immediately.
And so I wove in the story about her father's illness after that. Okay. And so this book has been on a little journey, and having it published now is kind of like being reunited with an old friend because it sat on my hard drive just forever. And then also the title was changed about 3 weeks ago.
What was it before?
It was called Faith Beyond Fear, but my publisher felt that that might almost be taken as being like a doctrinal book, you know, how to overcome your fear through faith. And so it's only been called Agent in Old Lace for a couple of weeks. And so I'm still getting used to saying it.
I love the title though.
Isn't it fun?
It is just very fun. Very
sorry. I'm at the bottom of page 2 and I'm like,
I told you.
I know. I'm sorry. You guys have been talking and I'm like, ooh, she's looking like she found this file.
Yeah, I did bring a copy so you guys could look at it. And these guys keep ignoring me and reading the book.
Seriously.
Biggest compliment you could have.
The one thing that you learn over and over and over again at writers' conferences, you have to learn how to write a hook that is going to hook your readers within the first page, the first 15 seconds, and you've done it.
Well, there I go then.
Oh, boy. You have.
There's the gun.
Seriously? See what I mean?
Sorry, I'm sitting here. I'm like, people, so you guys keep talking.
This is a good book. I mean, she's hooked us, and we're sitting here trying to podcast with her, and
she's standing her ground, and there's a gun.
We're ignoring Tristy, but loving her book. So,
that's all good. Because I could just sit here and talk to myself for a few minutes.
That meant something to her. Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't this look good? I mean, seriously.
So this book has been through a major, major makeover.
You have to put the book down, otherwise we
can't put it down. Yeah. I'm sorry. I really need to be paying attention to my author, to my guest.
And I really have to give Bill Gardner a lot of credit for this book because he read it for me. Mm-hmm. And he was so funny because he's going through my edit and he's all, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. I still love the book, but that wouldn't happen and that wouldn't happen and that's not realistic, but I love the book. Oh, and then this would never happen and that would never happen. And I just laughed. He sent me 10 pages of notes. And wow. Even though he found so many things to have me change, right. He was still so supportive. And so big shout out to Willard Boyd Gardner. Thank you for your help with the book. I finally understand the difference between a clip and a magazine. And I get how the gun thing happens now.
The first thing that came into my head that was not gun stuff. A clip. Hair clip.
Oh, yeah. And then
a magazine that you look through. That was the first thing came in.
I knew what she was talking about.
And then it dawned on me. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. So I had to learn all that, too, because I was having them use, the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's nope, love the book, but that's wrong. And so.
Okay, I just have a question. Is there going to be more in, is this a series or is this a standalone?
That is a standalone. Okay. My series is actually starting this fall.
Okay.
Ooh.
So would you like to
hear? We're also wanting to hear about that.
There's more.
This year has really been pretty incredible for me. I've been kind of spotty with these first few books. We went 2002, 2004, 2008. This year, things are really picking up for me. When I first submitted to Cedar Fort, I sent them a book called Secret Sisters, and I pitched them a series. They took it. Then they heard about that one and decided to publish Agent and Old Lace first.
Okay.
So
to establish your readership before you get into the series.
So gotcha. A whole bunch of stuff is happening all at once. But the Secret Sisters Mysteries is the name of the new series.
Mm-hmm. And you're hitting the right market. I can tell already.
Call it Chick Lit for the Elderly.
Because how hilarious.
My main characters are all older women who are a Relief Society presidency.
Really?
And they stumble upon
a niche
mystery
in the market that hasn't really been addressed before.
They stumble upon a mystery in the course of doing their visiting teaching.
Oh, this is hilarious.
And so they decide that they have to investigate. Now, Ida May is the president, and she's our main character. Her name is Ida May Babbitt. And the whole thing set in the fictional.
How do you come up with those names?
You know,
it just kind of popped into my head. Oh, I like that.
Great name.
The whole thing takes place in the fictional Utah town of Omni.
Okay.
And it's a little bit rural. And so Ida May wants to just take good care of her ward and the people in her ward. And so she discovers that something's not quite right. And they end up planting a surveillance camera in these people's home. And then through that process, they stumble into this whole mystery. And it is
hysterical. You guys aren't seeing the look on my face. So
it sounds good.
It is hysterical. My husband and I actually brainstormed this at 2:30 in the morning one night. And you know how you get kind of loopy? Yeah, we were way punchy.
Good idea, so.
And this book was just sheer joy to write. Every time I'd sit down at the computer, it was just funny and I was making myself laugh. And so in the first book, we establish our characters and Ida May has a nephew named Ren and he comes in and he's like their tech guru and he's a little bit fringe. He's not active in the church. He's got a ponytail and an earring and, you know, he's making the gizmos and everything. And then the education counselor's name is Arlette and she's very, you know, dour and, you know, she disapproves of everything. And she has a granddaughter who comes in to help.
Ooh.
And the granddaughter's name is Eden. And so Eden and Ren, of course, immediately hit it off and they start a little romance there.
I bet Arlette is not too happy about that considering that
she disapproves a little bit of Ren, but Ren's not really as bad as, you know, as Arlette thinks he is. And so by the end of the book, we've got everything wrapped up. Of course, the ladies all had to get released because you can't have prison records and, you know, be a Society presidency. But they do.
That's so good.
But because they solved the crime and were able to help out the law enforcement, they got off with 1,000 hours of community service.
1,000 hours,
which they were probably doing anyhow. So, which was very much, you know, I make the comment in the book that, hey, we don't have to assign hymns to go with what we're doing. It's just very much like what we've always done. And so that book is the first in a series of, I'm hoping for 5. Okay. So I'm going to drop a really, really big hint here.
5 is a great number, I think. Yes. 5 for a series. Good.
So I'm going to drop a really, really broad hint. If Secret Sister sells well, there will be more of a likelihood that they'll want to do all 5 books.
Great. So go out
and
there and
so
buy it.
And so go out there. It's supposed to be released in November. I haven't heard if that's been shifted or not. This series is... You will enjoy it. And I can say that.
I already know I will.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to be all braggy, although I am. But this book is really, totally honest. Yeah, not biased at all. This book is hysterical and I'm having so much fun. I'm working on the 4th one right now.
Oh, so wow. You already have the first one.
I was just going to ask you how far into the series you've written.
The first 3 are completely done. They're submission ready.
So how long a time period between each book that are they going
about
to
6
be?
6 months maybe?
Probably. We haven't actually discussed that at this point because we've been focusing on getting Agent and Old Lace done. Uh-huh. But I'm thinking probably 6 months.
They usually
That's
do
kind
about
of
every
what
6
I'm
months.
Thinking.
Right.
But at least that has been my experience.
The book's hot and people have read it. Uh-huh.
Before it disappears.
One out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep your
but,
audience happy.
Wow.
But we haven't discussed an actual schedule.
So
but
you're
going to
be back
kind of...
like, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
October-ish.
I could do that.
Actually, one or two anyhow. So you could be talking about your new book and also
the Story
Writers Conference.
Yep.
Yes.
You could hit both at the same time.
Okay. We'll book you in for beginning November maybe?
Totally.
Okay.
I am down good. With that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be having over some money after this podcast.
You just may have to. I brought these for show and tell, but you're more than welcome to, you know, pay me and, you know, they're yours.
If we could
but
do that,
I'll give you a really good
as long
deal.
As you autograph them for me.
I will completely autograph. Autographing works.
Okay,
so.
Sounds good. Well, do you have any other questions for Tristy?
You know, I just, my mind. I mean, she's just brought up so many things to make me think all of a sudden, you know? I mean, I'm excited.
It's like we're on a little Tristy high.
I know, seriously.
Tristy high.
I know there'll be a lot of questions that I'll be posing to her when I do my write-up on my blog after I read the book. And
if it ever comes in the mail.
It was just so disappointing because I was waiting all week long. It's like, oh, no, it's going to be here. It's going to be here.
Yeah, it'll come soon. It may even, you know, come as soon as you get home. I don't know.
Tell us where people can purchase your books.
They can purchase my first 3 books. The best place is on my website, which is just tristypinkston.com.
Right.
Click on the books link. Like I said, the updated prices aren't there yet, but just go ahead and place the order and then I will reimburse whatever overages there are. My new book is available online. It's on amazon.com. It's also at the publisher's site, which is cedarfort.com. Just do a search for my name or for the title of the book.
Okay.
Is it going to be available at
It will be. As far as I know, it will be, but it does take about a month.
Oh, really?
For the stores after it's been released. Released essentially just means that the publisher has it in the warehouse.
Okay.
So and it is purchasable by...
It's purchasable online and it's purchasable on my site.
Okay.
And then in about
a month. That
makes
sense why they always say that it will be on store shelves by. Now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because the stores have to know it exists and then they have to place their order and then it takes time for it to get shipped to the store.
And then they have to put it on the shelf.
And then they have to put it on into the store computer and then it has to go on the shelf. And so it generally does take about a month. So look for it in stores in about a month, but it is available online right this minute. So
good. Oh, and it looks great. I can't wait to get to it. I think I'm going to be reading Tristy books for the next 48 hours. So.
I think we should.
You just may.
I will be. You know, like I said, I'm kind of looking for my next, you know, I just finished Fablehaven 2 and I have these other ones, The Mother and Me and stuff that I'm working
but you know
on.
What?
But
you
I'm
need
looking
novels.
For my next book.
You
I'm
need
ready.
The novels that
yeah.
Yes.
Well, you will find that one is very different from my first 3, just simply from the shift from historical to contemporary.
Hey, did you feel like your writing style was different?
My writing style has changed. It explored a whole new facet of myself. Because, you know, I'm kind of a quirky person. You know, I like making jokes. I can be very flippant. And
which
so,
is why you fit in with us.
Yes.
With my first 3 books, they all had more of a serious nature to them.
A little heavier subjects.
A little heavier, a little more meaty, I would say. And right. then with Agent and Old Lace and then also the Secret Sisters series, which is starting this fall, I'm exploring more of my humorous side. And so good. We're seeing different facets of Tristy here.
That is excellent. So.
I love to watch authors expand and explore their capabilities. And Jeff Savage has written for every genre I think there is really so far.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, has learned a lot through that process. And so it's exciting mm-hmm. for us to see authors doing that
uh-huh.
because it's different taste, different side of people, and you kind mm-hmm. of get to know authors through their mm-hmm. writing and what
different facets of their right. personality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been so fun to explore. It's like both sides of myself have now been released as opposed to just the one yeah. or the other. So
well, congratulations on the new
you.
Book.
I can't wait to read Agent series too.
I'm excited. I am stoked.
I know.
I'm like,
okay. Now one question that we love to ask.
Yes.
We know that you talked about how you're working on book 4 of the series.
Uh-huh.
What else do you have out there that's hidden that you would like to write about?
We have asked you thought, have you talked beyond your series? Yeah.
She talked for about 25 more minutes.
I have got the ideas just keep coming in.
See, and that is just yeah. that just amazes me. Ideas, they just kind of come.
Yeah,
when do you reach that point when ideas are just everywhere? Because I don't get that. That doesn't happen in my head.
Does it come when you're writing a current book? You have a little branch off?
Sometimes,
or?
But it usually comes a lot in the shower. I don't know whether it's the running water or just the fact that I'm alone and I can think.
Exactly. There you
but,
go. Late at night.
I get a lot of ideas
my,
in the shower.
That's where my one idea came mm-hmm. from, was in the shower. So that's good.
Her one idea, like she's never had any other ideas
no,
in her whole
I
life.
No, I told my one story yeah. that I would probably
and it's
eventually
good
like
too.
To write.
She told us about it one, yeah. one day, and it was.
Well,
really
we'll
good.
See. But you know, I mean, is it something you learned how to tap into or recognize possibilities of what could happen because of your experience in writing? Did you find easier ideas come easier to you because of your experience?
I think they
in
kind
writing?
Of do. I do get a lot of just really random thoughts. And, you know, there are some that I grab onto and I go, mm-hmm. that was interesting. And then some that I just pass off as, I don't know, bad cheese or something. I don't know. But I actually, after I get the Secret Sisters series done, I do have another idea for a historical, which I may or may not explore at this time, depending right. on how this is going. But I actually had an idea for kind of a young adult chick lit.
Yes.
Mm. Which I'm,
need to do it.
Which I'm exploring right now. And then last night I had an idea for a sci-fi thriller, and I thought,
ooh,
sci-fi,
so you could do it. You
sci-fi.
Could do it.
I'm
do
like,
sci-fi.
I have
Serious.
Never.
Talk
I don't even
Stephanie.
Read.
Talk
I don't even read just... sci-fi, and so but I.
That's
love
because there's
the
not much out there. The Believer is one of my very
Holy
favorite
cow.
Books.
I loved The Believer.
Oh, so do I. And,
you know, and I liked The
stuck.
Host too. Even
the second
though,
one
you know,
stuck. It's just like
I told her she has to let me at least read the manuscript because I have to know. I have to know what happens next.
Well,
it
made me so jealous when. We're sitting there at the table at the Storymakers and all of a sudden, you know, they're talking, she's talking about it with Angela Eschler. Oh, I've already read it. What do you mean you've already read it? And it's like, that's not fair. I want
I think
to read
we should
it.
Go for it.
Seriously,
I really
we
think
would
you
be
should
supporters
go for it.
Behind, you know, that's the thing that
you've
we want.
Historical. Do the sci-fi thriller.
No, but see, that's the thing with us at here at LDS Women's Book Review. Uh-huh. Whatever you decide you want to promote and you want us to talk about, that's what we're here for.
Okay, awesome.
You know, seriously, because, you know, we love to do that.
Uh-huh.
We want to promote whatever you feel like needs to be uh-huh. out there. We're behind you.
Yeah, well,
you
this,
know, there's uh-huh. just so much that, like we were saying, that is available now that wasn't available.
Exactly.
To the point where, you know, I just could not get out of my head that I needed to start this podcast and get a couple of my friends mm-hmm. to help me do this
mm-hmm.
with different tastes in reading because there was no one to talk to about reading. And even though we all kind of read, we didn't read at this level. We haven't, mm-hmm. we had no
oh,
idea
heavens,
these
no.
gems that didn't even exist when we started this podcast mm-hmm. that would be how it would blossom just in these last 3.5 years that we've mm-hmm. been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, anything that we can do to help promote for either for Storymakers uh-huh. or for you personally, for your books, or if there's a book you come across, you're like, hey, yo, you need to okay. read this and whatever,
Definitely.
You know, a personal note to, mm-hmm. you know, just let us know because we I would will. Really, we've really enjoyed
yes.
being able to help promote
mm-hmm.
this little niche. And it's not just LDS fiction.
No,
that we've, you know,
no,
other
isn't.
Really good, just general
mm-hmm.
fiction
good
that's
books
out
that
there.
Are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
not all, not, you know, good books aren't limited to just LDS authors,
no,
but
not.
Clean fiction.
Exactly. Things that are appealing to the LDS audience.
Appropriate to, you know, the ones that aren't going to make you go, oh, I hope the bishop doesn't come by when I'm reading this because...
Go hide my book.
Or the home teachers are going to hide my book. You know, that's not the kind of reading that we're talking about. But, the ones that make you feel good that aren't... Because the nitty-gritty, like you were talking about, I think the world's literature is too nitty-gritty.
It is.
It's gone too far. There's some things that people know that don't need to be brought, that you just don't have to talk so much about.
And they don't make the story. They're just there for sensationalism.
It doesn't do anything to improve your life or to make you feel like you spent that 2 hours of reading time in a worthy way.
Exactly.
You know? So, and sometimes you just want to escape without having to escape what we just read.
Exactly.
I love it. That's a good way of putting it.
Exactly. Anyway, well, thanks so much for coming, Tristy. It's been so much fun to podcast with you.
Thank you for having me. I will plan on November. I will look forward to it.
That's when we usually do our getting ready for Christmas thing, too.
You know what? So. You might want to come with some ideas when we do that podcast also, you know, if you might want
ideas
to share.
For Christmas shopping. Yep. And okay, there's this great new series coming out that you guys should all buy for Christmas.
Is it Ida May?
Secret
Sisters, that's right. I heard about that. That will be great for Christmas. We can look forward to that.
And, you know, the books are actually, they're kind of skinny. They're going to be a little bit like that one. And so they're going to be affordable.
Perfect. Oh, great.
Just quick, fun, light reads. And
I like those.
You will enjoy them. I promise you, you will.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. We get to get, like, maybe some copies.
Yeah, there will be some copies happening here.
Okay, good. That's great. No, we can't wait. I'm excited. So we just appreciate you taking the time out of your day, especially this launch party day that you have planned to come and talk to us.
It will go well.
Thank your husband and children for being so patient also.
Well, he took them to McDonald's, so I think they're all good with life.
Yeah, but he took them to McDonald's like 2.5 hours ago.
So that was a sacrifice on his part.
They might be done.
You know, he has been so supportive.
Even my kids hit a limit at McDonald's. So.
Yeah, my husband has been so supportive.
That's great. He looks like a supportive guy. He really is a nice guy. But that's great. Yeah. I mean, without supportive spouses, I mean, we all know.
What would you do?
Then we're by yourself having to support yourself. It's hard, let me tell you.
But I mean, in finding, supporting our passions, that's great. So.
Exactly.
You're very blessed.
I am.
Thank him for letting you come and spend so much time with us.
Thanks for coming.
And watch for Agent and Old Lace in stores very soon.
Or online.
Or buy it online.
Get it faster online.
Get it much faster online.
TristyPinkston.com. Okay. And if you have any other book suggestions, or like always, if you have any questions, you can reach us at ldswbr@gmail.com or individually at Shanda, Sheila, or Hillary at ldswomensbookreview.com.
Yep.
All right. Thanks again. And thanks for joining us for episode 34.